Welcome to episode 135 of the Geocaching Podcast. 2010, geocaching goals and dreams. I'm your host, XPunkX, with
Daryl W4 and
Monty Ryder.
If you want to participate on our show today, please call 724-444-7444, and a Talkcast ID is 7525. You can also join our live chat room to participate with our other listeners. That can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.info. Click the Join Now button on the right to participate. We have a voicemail line, which is 206-3503-GPS, and we're on Twitter at twitter.com/GCPodcast. This episode is brought to you by kind geocachers just like you. Montu, welcome back. We've had Christmas here in between the show. How was your Christmas?
Well, Christmas was great. We spent the day up with my mother. My sister and her husband came along with their two kids. Had a great time watching the kids open up their Christmas gifts and then eating kind of a half between Christmas lunch and Christmas dinner, all rolled into one. Most of my time, though, since last week's show has been spent doing the final prep work for our event GC21090, which was the fourth annual Starkey Park Geo event. The event was a big success as always. Had a bunch of great food, fantastic time. A lot of people showed up. Per the online log so far, we had a smaller group turn out than normal. Only about 43 have logged so far, but I haven't counted the entries in the actual logbook yet, and I believe the count to be much higher. I know of at least two or three caches that haven't logged online yet that I know personally, and the place was almost full to capacity with only one or two of the picnic tables still open. So taking a guess, I'd have to say probably closer to 100 were in attendance. There have already been some a great deal of photos uploaded to the event page, including one that looks like two cache maniac guests that are spiking the punch bowl, which, of course, they weren't. It was Martinelli sparkling apple cider that was served for the early New Year's toast. Then, of course, on Monday, it was back to the grind and back to work. How about you, Daryl?
Well, you know, I don't think that the park would have been all too happy if you'd actually been, spiking punch.
No, they wouldn't, because it's definitely posted no alcoholic beverages in the park.
Yeah, that's true of most. You know, they don't want to have to deal with drunken folk, sliding down cliffs or something.
Or in my case, just sliding around on pine trees.
Yeah. Well, with all those pine needles, I'm sure there's quite a bit of that, too. Well, my Christmas day was mostly spent at home doing some cleanup with some loose ends and dropping a few new parking knot caches for the New Year's event. Saturday, though, I hung out with some photography friends and ended up in Plymouth, Michigan for some night photos. And that was fun, even though we really didn't find a whole lot of, really good subject matter there. You know, we had hoped for a lot more, but like half the Christmas trees in there, center park thing, were without power, so it made it for a far less interesting event than what we had hoped for. You know, Sunday, though, was all about Caches of the Round Table. Yes, we're back. We recorded episode 25 and did some live streaming over Ustream, and had some problems with it because the connection dropped a few times. The iPhone app crashed once, so the recording was actually broken up into like a total of 14 or a total of like 17 or 18 clips. I ended up deleting some of the pre-show clips and got it down to 13. So those clips are on Ustream, but we are missing a whole bunch of it. So, we got them up there, but kind of gives you some cool behind the scenes looks, I guess. But it's not fun to watch because it's in 13 clips, anywhere from like 30 seconds, I think, through like 10 minutes. Not pretty cool. But, you know, it will be up on the 7th or 8th, I think it is. So you can download the finished episode then. Now, Andy, what were you up to?
Well, our Christmas is fairly nice. We spent the morning with my wife's parents. And then we drove down to central Indiana for for hanging out with a weekend with my parents. And then on Sunday, we went to Southern Michigan to hang out with one of our friends who was in town for the holidays. So it was a lot of driving, but it was fun. Nothing too really eventful. I didn't knew that we wouldn't have much time to even do any caching, and it was cold, and so I didn't do any pocket queries. I have to admit, it was kind of, I would like to, but I knew that I wasn't going to be able to stop anywhere. So, but you know, my Christmas is nice, and it was good to spend some extra time with my family. So that's, it's good to be back. Not, I don't want to say good to be back to work, but it, you know, the long weekend kind of makes you ready to get out of the house again.
Good to be back into a regular routine.
It is. That is true. Now, Monty, we've got some news from Garmin. Can you tell us about that?
Yep. My pleasure. Garmin announced today their new Oregon 450 and 450T GPSRs. Improvements from the Oregon 400 include a greater... Too much eggnog. Include a brighter screen, high-speed USB, photo navigation, and the three-axis tilt-compensated compass, electric compass. The Oregon 450T includes preloaded 100K topo maps for the U.S. Both new models have 850 megabit internal memory and a microSD card slot. These Oregon 450 support up to 2,000 waypoints and 5,000 caches. List for the 450 is $399.99 U.S., and the 450T is $499.99 U.S., which is the same list price as the Oregon 400T. We'll link to the press release, blog post, and the product pages in the show notes.
If you are on Facebook, we'd love to have you join our Facebook group. Just search for Geocaching Podcast, and you will find our group. We've got some pictures up there and some other stuff that we will hopefully be posting more soon. So if you're on Facebook, go ahead and check our Facebook group out. And again, that's just searching for Geocaching Podcast. And then also look for some new stuff coming shortly here with about our website. We will be posting that as a feed. You will get some information in our feed.
Geocaching question of the day. Bad cop asks, you answer.
Hello, this is the Bad Cop, and welcome to the geocaching question of the day. Each weekday, I ask a geocaching-related question to my Twitter audience, and then summarize the replies and post it on my website. I hope this little project will keep you up to date on the ever-changing face of geocaching. Fellow cacher SNAT asked, when you find a travel bug in a cache, do you take it, discover it, or ignore it? The answer surprised me. Over 3/4 of you take the travel bug. If you grab the travel bug, make sure you move it along in a timely manner. I have to be one of the worst travel bug offenders in that regard. Hey, how about a New Year's resolution to move travel bugs along faster? That works for me. So tell me, when you find a travel bug in a cache, do you take it, discover it, or ignore it? Want to find out more? Follow me, the Bad Cop, on Twitter.
Well, that sounds like a great goal and for this next year in 2010 is to move travel bugs a little bit more. We're talking tonight, this evening, about some of our own personal goals for 2010. And of course, we'd love to hear from you as well. If you're joining us live, hit the Request to Talk button or *8 on your phone. To join with us live, you'll need to be dialed in through the VoIP or your phone and with your phone, or you'll just need to call 724-444-7444 and then enter our TalkCast ID, which is 7525. If you're listening to this from the podcast feed, call in your goals to our voicemail line at 206-350-3GPS or join us live next week for a January Cacher Coffee show. Montu, as far as milestones and numbers go, what is your goal?
Well, I gotta admit, this is probably the most common of goals for geocachers, those based on the numbers and the milestones. Currently, I'm at 309 finds with 22 hides of my own, plus another 22 that I've helped my wife and daughter hide for a total of 44 hides between the three of us. Would have liked to have hit 500. Was shooting for that with the big trip to Oshkosh, but things kind of fell through. We got pressed for time with the car trouble and everything, so that kind of fell by the wayside. But I did achieve one milestone that I challenge any one of our listeners to match, beat, or even come close to, and that is that during that trip to Oshkosh, Wisconsin, I managed in 4 days to teach about 1,000 kids and adults how to geocache. And that for me was definitely a very thrilling experience, getting to see the excitement pop on in their faces as they're trying out this military hardware to go hunt Tupperware in the woods.
that always is always fun to see the people that you're trying to talk to about, you know, to get it, and to their faces just light up. But then there is those people that just don't get it, and they never will.
That's true. But I had quite a few where the lights definitely went on, and I can't wait to bump into some of them out on the trail.
Well, for me, I'm sitting nice and pretty at 420 finds right now. I would have liked to have, you know, I did cross the 400 mark. I would have liked to do five, you know, make that, you know, half a century mark, but I didn't get that. So my goal for next year is to do 600 before the end of next year. So I really got to get going on that. Hopefully I get to do some more numbers runs this year. That's kind of what set me up over, you know, this last year. I did the most finds in a year that I've ever done. And so that kind of hit that, kind of helped do that. So hopefully this next year I can do some numbers runs and some trips and things like that that'll help me to get some more numbers. And even just caching more around my area would be nice too. I have to admit that I don't do that often as much as I'd like to. Daryl?
Well, you know, you're going to have a chance to get some serious numbers if you take a little bit of time up here during CacherCon.
True.
Yeah, I think in Roseville alone, which isn't a very big city, there's over 100 caches.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are pretty much park and grabs. So,
oh, wow.
You can definitely get some numbers there, and you can probably easily get over 100 caches in a day if you haven't cached in the area, which, you know, we have, so it doesn't work for us.
Yeah.
Well, Paul KF400X actually mentioned that he'd like to get to 3,000 finds next year and hide 10 more, so... Yeah, you know, he's got that goal. I really don't have much of a goal in hiding, but we did do over 1,100 caches just this calendar year. So now I'm thinking it'd be kind of fun to try for 1,200 finds for the next calendar year, which averages out to be 100 finds each month. And you know, when you start getting into a lot of these numbers runs and whatnot, it doesn't seem that tough. So I'm thinking it might be something definitely doable.
Yeah, especially, you know, around your area where there's a lot of caches.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have to head somewhere, any direction, and get into an area where we haven't cached as much to get the big numbers. But we definitely have new caches published all the time, and you know, even on these little weekends, it's not hard for us to get 20, 30 caches. You know, you do four or five of those a week, and or four or five of those a month, and we'll be making our goal without a problem.
Yeah, well, good luck on that. For me, I've never hit that many in a month, so I mean, on an average anyways, so good luck with your goal there.
Yeah, well, you know, just come out this way and we'll make sure that you can hit that. Grand Rapids is supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, when we are for CacherCon, we'll be out there, so.
Yeah, definitely take a couple of hours in between sessions or something, and you can get some good finds. But you know, one of the little less common goals is to hit additional counties, states, or countries. And Andy, I think you're going to actually have a chance to hit a couple of Michigan counties you haven't hit before.
Yeah, but that is true.
This year, my real goal is going to simply be to add more states to my geocaching map, because we're going to be doing some traveling both to Geo Woodstock 8 and to some family events. So, most of the miles we're going to be doing are flying, but we're also going to be doing some driving. And, you know, I'm hoping to put some serious, states on our map there. Now, Montu, I know that you're kind of stuck down there in Florida most of the time. Do you have any geographic goals?
Well, definitely to get more counties in here in Florida, and definitely get some other states. I've been hoping, again, you know, I hate beating on a dead horse. I had hoped to get some other states when we did the trip to Oshkosh, but with the vehicle troubles that we had, that just didn't come to fruition. So right now I'm stuck with the only fines that I've got are here right in my immediate area, the couple counties here around me. But hopefully I intend to get some others in there. And hopefully when if you do come down here to Florida, we'll be able to help you get a few more Florida counties in for you.
Yeah, we hope to get down there, and probably will in like mid-July, I guess it's looking like now. But you know, we'll have to figure that out yet.
No, not a problem. We've got the venue already set up, and the date is not set in stone. We're flexible on that. So we're ready and we're ready and waiting for you.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Just bring lots of water. That time of the year, it's going to be hot in the park.
Oh, I know. And we're going to probably be running around Disney, and it's their busy time. So, you know, it's going to be interesting.
Actually, usually for Disney, that time of year, because of the heat, usually about the only ones that are in those parks are usually the Floridians. So usually the parks are not as densely packed as they are during the winter months. Winter, Disney, Busch Gardens, SeaWorld, they all seem to be a whole lot more heavily populated. But during the summer, they're not, because everybody's trying to stay out of the heat.
Well, that's good.
Now, for myself, I'd like to hit some of the eastern states in the United States. I've hit kind of our central Midwest area and down and through Texas, but I've not hit anything east. And so... or even west, for that matter. I really have not hit either side of the continent there, or the, you know, the states. I've not really hit. So I would like to hit either east or west for me. Get kind of either one of those ways. And always add more counties. I've got. It's kind of funny because you can kind of see the areas that I travel in Indiana if you look on my state's map, because you know it's a specific area and you can tell where I'm mostly at because it's mostly colored dark where I've had more. So for me, it's other states and then other counties that I haven't really hit, which is, I mean, I think for most people, if they're going to do additional county goals, it's going to be counties in their state and other states that they've not hit. So those are really for me. Now, many of us have also been working on completing various challenging caches, challenge caches. For myself, I really don't have any official challenges. This past year, I was just trying to find at least one cache in all of the months of the year. So I did accomplish that goal. Looking to the next year, I'd like to find at least a cache that was placed in every month that caching has been around. So, for every month that caching has been around, at least want to have at least one cache that was hidden during that time period. And that's getting kind of hard to find, especially in the older ones, the very early ones. But I'd like to try to get that kind of taken care of. So, Daryl, how about yourself?
Well, you know, I really don't find most of these challenge caches to be entertaining. You know, when you have to go through all the work of trying to, you know, chart stuff out and figure out, okay, I have to do, you know, one cache today, two caches tomorrow, three caches. You know, it gets a little bit... obnoxious, and it takes the fun out of caching for me. So really, we don't have any plans for challenge caches this year, but I really still want to hit as many of the virtual caches as I can, especially as we're out traveling. You know, the virtual caches are really a lot of fun. So that's where I'm going to probably spend most of my effort this year. Montu, what are you planning?
Well, unfortunately, no challenge caches down here that I have plans to go after at this point. Just with work and everything else, it's just very hard to get away. Really about the only thing that I had of any challenge during 2009 was doing that teaching up at Oshkosh back in August. But that in itself, as I said before, was definitely both a challenge and a thrill. I don't think I'll be able to top that for quite some time. Now, another thing that a lot of cashers set as goals is attending events and social gatherings. Now, we can't forget these goals, to attend these or host events, and even to meet fellow cachers. Now, for myself, the fourth annual Starkey Park Geo event, GC21090, that we just got through wrapping up, several of the logs are already talking about that they can't wait for the fifth annual event that will be held the end of 2010. So we're definitely looking forward to that one come next year and whatever other events happen to come along the way. Andy, how about you?
Well, for me, CacherCon is going to be the major event up in Detroit area. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm doing some of the we're doing the main event or the thing with the we're doing a live recording of the podcast here. And then we're also going to be, you know, teaching some classes and stuff. So that'll be a lot of fun. Now, as far as the other mega events, I don't think I'm going to hit any of those, you know, with the new baby and all. I just don't think I'm going to be able to hit the megas this year. I'd like to hit Woodstock, but it just the timing on it is not going to work for us.
Yeah, and it is quite a trek and a lot of cash, too, to set that up from our neck of the woods.
Yeah, that is true.
But yeah, CacherCon's obviously going to be my big thing. Yeah, because I'm probably the main organizer behind that and still working on that one quite a bit. And actually, anyone who thinks they're going to attend, if you could post a will attend log, that would be very, very handy. You know, we'll post the link to the CacherCon in the show notes again. But we're looking at, I think it's about a week or two. I've got to get back with the hotel and give them some numbers. And right now, I think it looks like about 70 people. I'd have to go back and look. I have a feeling we're going to be over 100 people for the event. So I need to give them those kind of numbers and plan that kind of stuff. And of course, you know, we're planning on going out to Geo Woodstock 8. Really looking forward to that, not just for the event itself, but to hit some of those really cool old significant caches. You know, the, I can't remember what the cache is called, but it's that ape cache that's out there in the original stash plaque, go visit Groundspeak, all that kind of stuff. Now, before we move on, though, to our next topic, Paul in the chat room had said that he also wants to finish the Pennsylvania DeLorme and County Challenge caches. Now, I know that's a pretty tall order around Michigan, so good luck with that. You know, we'll look forward to hearing your progress and cheer you on. Now, also this time of year, it's fun to make some predictions as to what we think is going to happen in the coming year. Today, we want to kind of talk about things we think might possibly happen, not such wild things. You know, things that we'd really like to see for 2010. Again, we'd love to hear from you guys as well. If you're joining us live, hit the Request to Talk button or star 8 on your phone. For any ideas you might have after the live recording, you can call us into the voicemail line at 206-350-3GPS. Or just bring him to next week's Cash or Coffee. Now, Andy, will you want to kick us off with your dream for 2010?
Sure, I'd love to. One of the things that I really like about the about geocaching.com is the ability to load GPX files, you know, a waypoint right off of the website. So one of the things that I really like to see is the ability to load pocket queries directly off the site, too. Instead of having to download them and things like that, I could just plug my GPS in and go. Because a lot of times I don't do any filtering on them. I still would want to download them into GSAC, but it'd be great to have them right away, load them right from the website. Geocaching.com, if you're listening, that'd be an awesome thing to have. And Montu, what is one thing that you'd like to see?
Well, definitely support for picking up and dropping travelers from the iPhone. I know I don't use an iPhone myself, but I know a lot of people do use that, and it would make for things to be a lot simpler because there's so many times where you might, just in the course of the day, you might move a travel bug or a coin from one cache to the next, and because you don't get home in time, somebody might come along and they grab it, and it definitely throws off the mileage on the bugs and everything. So it'd definitely be easier if we could have more instantaneous access for picking up and dropping off of the travelers.
Yeah, that's a nice one. And, you know, I really like to see a couple of different apps as well, both for the iPhone and for Android. And I'm really looking forward to the geocaching app alone being for Android. But, you know, the waymarking stuff is really cool. I like the concept. But without an app for it, it just really doesn't seem to really, I don't know how to put it, but it's not easy enough. You know, you have to have something that makes it easier. The iPhone and the Android and even like the BlackBerry and the Windows Mobile really seem like a perfect platform for that. So I really want to see the waymarking app for that come out eventually, hopefully this year. And also, you know, Where I Go is such a cool idea and just hasn't really gone anywhere. If they can get the app out for the Android and for the iPhone, I think we might actually see some adoption with that. And it also kind of makes it a little tough with the builder right now. And Andy, I think you actually have a dream with that.
I do. I would like to see the online creator for the Where I Go cartridges. Lots of websites are, you know, able to do a lot of cool things online, and I'd love to be able to see the ability to build the cartridges right on the whereigo.com. That way I didn't need to have an own separate Where I Go builder program. I could just do it right online, and I think it'd be a lot more simple if we could do it on the website. Now, I know that for me, I also want virtuals back. I know it's been said a gazillion times, especially on almost everyone that is interviewed on Cash Maniacs. They want virtuals back. I want virtuals back. We love seeing the historic sites, things like that. And sometimes you just can't put a cache there, but it's a physical cache, but it's a great place to take somebody. And again, waymarking is just not the same. So
no, it's not, but you know, I kind of think if we got the app and maybe even some better support in the GPS, that it might actually be something that could not really take the place of, but kind of fill that gap that we have because of the missing virtual caches. And I hate to admit it, but I actually kind of like the fact now that we don't have the virtual caches, new virtual caches being placed, that is. Just because it is so nice to be able to go out and say that you've actually completed all of the virtual caches in a given area.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Now, one thing that I'd definitely love to see, and this doesn't directly pertain to geocaching directly, but it does in another respect, and that is this stream is for those that are mobility challenged out of the geocaches that are out there. And what my dream here would be is that that the makers of the different wheelchairs that are out there, the electric chairs, could improve the chairs in a way that they could handle the terrain better, be it the sugar sand that we've got here on some of our trails in Florida, the snow or whatever, and for the batteries to last longer. My wife, Jodster, will tell you that she loves coming out on the trails, even though sometimes we have to use some very interesting ways of getting her into the places that her chair just flat out wouldn't go. We've done a couple of different methods for getting her in there. Some of them have been very uncomfortable for her, but she's enjoyed going out there and getting to some of the same places that us less mobility challenged caches are able to get to. So that would be my biggest dream, is to see somebody really come out with an affordable and geocaching friendly electric wheelchair, so that those geocaches that are challenged can get out there to get to a lot of these places that we're able to get to.
Now, my last thing, and what we're going to close the show out with, is I want to see more people be educated before placing caches. I know it's an exciting thing to place a cache, and you just want to get out there and do it. But it was awesome. I had somebody email me in our area that saw that I had a bunch placed here and said, we just wanted your opinion on this. Do we need to have a permit? Do we need to have, you know, ask permission? And if so, who would that be? And it was awesome to see them do that. And hopefully they place a good cache. And I told them basically, you know, everything that I know, and that obviously they need to get permission no matter where it's at. And I even offered to help them find out who that was if they needed to. If they wanted to place a cache, I was willing to help them find out who the land manager was. So for me, people being educated before placing caches is my biggest goal or dream in 2010. Now, we want to thank you guys for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. If you found any value in this content, please consider helping us make this show sound better by visiting www.geocachingpodcast.info and clicking the donate button. You'll be given a link to our Plus feed if you donate. Thank you. Join us each Tuesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.info, or you can call 206-350-3GPS anytime to leave us a voicemail. Have a great week and happy caching.